Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Ryan Garcia with the 8th round stoppage over Oscar Duarte, and we're going to break it all down. Chris Algieri, Dan Canobio coming to you late night. Let's get into it. Let's go. Wow. What was that? That was one of the stranger fights I've ever seen, Chris. I feel like we watched four different Ryan Garcias in the ring. I think he took something from each trainer he's had his entire career. He came out jabbing in the first couple of rounds. I thought he looked good moving around. Then all of a sudden, he picks up a Philly shell, the shoulder roll. What are we doing there? Then he just starts straight up running before he stops Oscar Duarte in the 8th round. A mixed bag, I think. I think we come away with a few more questions than answers, at least from my side of seeing things. What did you make of Ryan Garcia's performance? 8th round stoppage, Oscar Duarte.
Well, I think it went to exactly what I said leading up to this fight, that Duarte did not belong in there. And if Ryan struggled with him, then we got a lot more to ask about Ryan than we do about Duarte, because Duarte has never been anything until he was in this fight. He didn't do much at all, Duarte. People are going to be like, oh, he was in there. No, he wasn't. He barely threw any punches. Horrible. He was so inactive. He had a lot of opportunities to do things. Ryan did not like any time he threw any punches. Ryan actually flashed a jab tonight. Best jab I've ever seen from him. Sharp, hard, landing, very, very precise. You're the numbers guy, copy box.
I'm sure he jabbed like 30 jabs in the first two rounds, like 30 each round, first two rounds.
Yeah, they were landing good. They were good jabs.
But then he abandoned it, and then he started running around. And like he didn't do one thing consistently, but keep going.
No, I'm super disappointed because I had to watch this with family who are not boxing people, and they're asking me what the hell was going on, and they're asking me who's winning, and I had Ryan winning almost every round. I mean, pretty much every round he was winning, but like I had to make a case for him every round.
I feel like it was easier for non-boxing fans to understand that because it didn't look like. It wasn't like the sweetest of sciences, so I feel like to the naked eye,
I kind of understand. Dan, you're being nice. It was garbage. It was terrible. It was terrible boxing. It was not good to watch. That was not good to watch.
It was so. It was weird.
Nobody knew what was going on. I mean, only boxing who were literally, if you were not under a microscope and being like, okay, yep, Ryan won that. Otherwise, you're like, oh, he's not doing much. My family's all like, why is he moving so backwards so much? Why is he just, they've been watching me. I'm a boxer. And they're still like, why is he not doing anything?
He made more demonstrative running actions than Stevenson did.
I mean, the whole turning, spinning was, which I don't understand why Duarte didn't do more. He could have been punching him all over the place. And just, I don't know. That was ugly, dude.
Okay. It wasn't great. You know,
that whole card sucked. By the way, that whole card sucked.
It was a lot of quick finishes, all stoppages. We'll get to that in a second. What didn't suck is the NBA season, Chris. At the NBA season, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on basketball. Win or lose, you get an instant dub, just like Ryan Garcia did in round 8. I bet that Ryan Garcia would go the distance. That didn't happen. I also bet that Iowa Hawkeyes would score at least 7.5 points against Michigan, and they got shut out. So I got shut out tonight, so I'll try to make more money back with the DraftKings Sportsbook app. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code IBL. New customers can get 150 instantly in bonus bets or for betting just $5 on basketball only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code IBL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER in New York. Call 888 7788 HOPE-NY, or you could text HOPE-NY. In West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Please play responsibly. In Connecticut, help is available for a gambling problem. Call 888-789-7777, or you can visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, must be 21 or older in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Bonus bets expire 168 days after issuance. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms. Okay, back to the fight. So what did we learn? What did we learn? I think we actually came away with more questions about Ryan Garcia than we got answers. Like, the first couple of rounds, jabbing, using his distance, moving. That's the correct way I believe he should fight. Firing off power shots, quick twitch. Middle rounds, I don't know where he came up with that shoulder roll. Chris Mannix said maybe he was trying to shield one side of his body that got hurt in the tank fight. And then we get the straight up running and moving around. I mean, running is putting it lightly. Moving around, and eventually catches him. So there was some bad, there was some good. I think it was a mixed bag type of performance.
Ryan is very explosive, and that's never going to go away. And I said that going into this fight. It's like, listen, if he can carry that power into the 140 pound division, you know, he's still the guy. The issue is Duarte is a 35 pounder, and they fought at 143, which was unbeknownst to us going into the weigh-in, right?
I mean, they say if it's not a title fight, you're allowed three pounds. It was always at 143. No, I didn't see that anywhere. It wasn't a talking point at all in any of the Zone telecasts, any of the Golden Boy telecasts, any of the Golden Boys. That came out of literally left field.
Right. Duarte is a 35 pounder. And now we all of a sudden it's a 40. We're talking about a junior welterweight fight, 140. So we're like, all right, we're getting a 35 pounder at the 40. Ryan's first fight, like real fight at 140, but he's also fighting a 35 pounder. Then the fight's at 43. So that right away was like, okay, questionable, whatever. All right, you're the bigger guy. And he definitely looked like the bigger guy in the ring. But then the fight was just, I mean, I don't know. Duarte just did not do much. Ryan looked like he was figuring things out.
Is that okay though? Like, I mean, we all
Dan, this is why it's not okay, because he didn't figure things out in a way that he was like, all right, I'm the man. He figured things out and being like, all right, I need to fucking dodge and dive and get away from this guy. Like, he got more uncomfortable as the fight went, not more comfortable. Yeah. That's the problem. The problem is that he didn't get better as the fight went on. He got worse.
He didn't.
And then he caught the guy and knocked him out.
He won every round. Maybe no, he lost two rounds. He lost the fifth and the sixth, but he was in control for the majority of the fight. But he didn't feel it. Didn't feel like he was in control. Like I thought in my head, every time I watch Ryan Garcia fight, I feel like he's walking a tightrope. I feel like when is it going to implode? When is he going to get a hit on the chin?
Well, no, you can see him thinking. His mind is working. Like, all the pressure, everyone that they expect me to do a thing, I'm not doing it. Like, he's just like, he's thinking everything we're thinking. Like, all right, Ryan, here we go. Here we go. That wasn't it. And you could feel him feel that and shows that. He just shows it on his face. He shows it on his body language. And then he just goes to, all right, I'm just like the left hook he abandoned because it wasn't working. And then he started throwing the right hook, which was a hard, fast, sharp, fast spot. And like, boom, zoom, he's just throwing that.
Yeah. He's very twitchy. Like his instincts are that. His instincts are to throw those quick, twitchy hooks and rely on power and speed. It's the other things that gets him crossed up. It's the other parts, the intricacies of boxing, which master boxers can master. And just to go back to your point, like, it almost in a way, like, he's thinking in there, he has all this pressure, storylines, you know, adversity, all that, and the other. I feel like that's why some people literally tune in to watch him fight, because you are watching a reality show. You're watching something play out in the ring of a kid that we've been following for 6-7 years now. And I think that's why he still resonates, is a reason why people are interested, is a reason why we put out videos and they get a ton of views and a ton of clicks, because people are invested in this kid, good or bad. They have an opinion on him, good or bad. There's a lot of fighters out there that have, they'll elicit a single response or a single opinion from fight fans out there. It's good to have some type of response. Now, how far can he go? Like, he called out Rolly Romero. There's champions at 140, huge marketable fights with Devin Haney and the Pro Grade winner, or Teofimo Lopez. Did you see anything in there tonight? Did you see any the beginnings of anything that could lead you to believe that he can win a world title?
So I'm gonna take that back a little bit. So I disagree with what you're saying. Like, people are tuning in to watch him go through these motions. I don't. I think that his fans that are not real boxing fans, they're people from the outside who follow him because of his social media, because he's good looking, because he does the TikToks and whatever. They want to see him go out there and blast guys out. And then the boxing fans like you and I, who actually want him to do well, and they think that we think that he's good for boxing, want to see him go out there and enact a different style. If he went out there and he boxed Duarte's shoes off for 12 rounds and won every single round and showed master boxer skills, like you're saying, I would have been super impressed.
I saw that for 6 minutes.
He looked good in the beginning. I would have been really happy. Listen, I was one of the guys who was like, yo, he should blast this guy out in 2 rounds. And honestly, I still think that. He still should have. He got him out in whatever, 7, 8, or 9, whatever round he fucked out him in. 8. He should get him in 2. But I will give it to him. The other guy wasn't fighting. But if he went out there and just boxed behind that good sharp jab that he showed in the first 2 rounds, and he just did that for 12 rounds and just completely outboxed Duarte, who he easily could have done that with, and showed another facet of his skill set and showed me that he belongs with the top guys, I'd be like, yeah.
But you kind of, in a way, it kind of answered what I said a little bit. Like, there are those, he has his fans, he has his base, and pretty good crowd there. Duarte had fans too. He has his base of fans that have been following him since day one. They want to see him blast them out of there. Then he has the boxing fans like us that want to just see some improvements. Then there's also people that hate him and just want to see him get knocked out, want to see him fail. That's all three. Like, those, that's a damn good recipe. There's a reason why this, I wouldn't say, a slightly better than mediocre type of fighter is getting this type of attention.
But did he make any one of them happy tonight?
I don't care. I don't know, but I know that people care. I know that people are giving their opinions on the kid left and right. There are a lot more people not supporting him than supporting him. A lot more people that are doubting him than are actually think he can be a world champion one day. The main thing I'm trying to get across is that I think that he's mastered something in terms of marketing, in terms of getting people to care, that I think a lot of fighters could look at and try to do.
He needs to master that fucking jab. He needs to master boxing. Yeah, he needs to master, like, because he's got everything he needs for it. He's tall, he's long, he's fast, he's sharp. I mean, he's got the boxing skills. He has 200 amateur fights. Like, this, that kid can go out there and just, a guy like Duarte, he can go out there and fucking jab until his face is black and blue and swollen.
Why do you think he detours away from the jab?
Doubt.
Isn't that the most instinctual punch?
What?
Isn't that the most instinctual thing you're taught? Like, the number one punch that you're taught early on, and it's everything.
Yeah, but he has doubt. That's what I mean. If you have doubt in your jab, so now we're getting technical. You're saying the jab, isn't that the most instinctual punch? No, it's not, because it's the most counterable punch.
Okay.
If you don't have a good jab, it's very easy to counter a jab. You're leading with your front hand and your chin is exposed. So a good fighter counters a jab. A great fighter has a great jab that is uncounterable. I don't think Ryan believes in his jab.
He's got
a good jab. He's very, very quick. He's got very good understanding of where he needs to be. He just doesn't believe it. My point is that his problem is doubt. I saw doubt all night tonight.
Yeah.
That turning and rolling and boom. He's not comfortable with the defensive. He's not comfortable getting low. He's not comfortable rolling those shots because that's not what he's good. He's not what he's done. It's not what he's used to.
Yeah.
He's used to backing up, jabbing, hooking guys, and they go to sleep.
Yeah. The jab, the shoulder roll was bizarre. He says he wasn't trying to mask any injury. He said he was trying to slow down Duarte, who was coming on and getting aggressive. It just looks so clunky. It looks so clumsy.
It looked like something he hasn't really worked on. It's not something he does. I think
I don't know if Derek James even implemented it, because they asked him in between.
Definitely not.
No, what did you think? Obviously, Derek James, it's their first fight together. What'd you think of it? Did you see anything from James's like implementing a game plan here? Do you see a base that was set, a ground level that was set for this Derek James and Ryan Garcia tandem to grow?
Yes. Those first couple rounds when Ryan came out and was flashing a good hard jab,
mm-hmm.
he was a different, he looked like a different guy. He was throwing a different hard, solid jab. And he's also throwing right hands. And he did that all throughout the night. But also, I liked what Derek was telling him in between rounds. I think he was keeping Ryan in that fight. Because there were points in that fight where Ryan was just like, he did not look comfortable. He did not look like he wanted to be there. And he went to the corner, and Derek was like, I don't know what Derek was saying to him. But it seemed like Derek...
He was coaching his balls off, man. I mean, he used every second of that 60 seconds. He was talking right. The whole time.
But it looked like Derek was imposing his own will onto Ryan so he would have some will during the rounds. Because there were times in those rounds when his will was dissipated.
It was weird.
There was no will from Duarte, so there wasn't much coming back. Again, this whole thing about, I've been saying from the beginning, Duarte's not the guy. If you struggle with a guy like Duarte, you're not elite.
But what would you grade it? Like, yeah, there was some parts of struggling, but he still got him out of there. He still knocked him out. He still showed some signs of boxing. He showed signs of slowing down a guy when he was coming on a little bit. I'm trying to find the positives. You know, we just pretty much hit on the negatives. I'm trying to find the positives here.
He got the guy out of there. Positive was he won the rounds. Positive was he got the guy out of there. It was all the in-between stuff. It's all the things that boxing people are going to look at and be like,
right. There wasn't, you didn't come away like I said in the beginning, you didn't come away with answers. You didn't come away, you came away from this fight of Ryan Garcia. You came away from this fight with Ryan Garcia pretty much thinking the same thing you thought going in. True or false?
I wouldn't say that. The problem with fighting the elite guys is you can't show any weakness.
Right.
And he had a main event. This wasn't an undercard fight. This wasn't like buried in some pay-per-view undercard. This was the main event of a card that everyone's tuning in to see Ryan fight. So you're under the microscope, which is what Ryan's been, you know, for his career, which is tough. It's really hard to be that guy. It's really hard to develop under the microscope. And he's been calling out the biggest names because he is a big name because of his background, not because of his accomplishments yet. So he's going to be under that microscope, and he's going to be in the discussion with those big names. You can't show those deficiencies when you're talking about fighting Tank Davis, Shakur Stevenson, Devin Haney. You can't be that guy because those guys don't show that. Devin Haney just fought Lomachenko. And he showed deficiencies at moments, but like
he showed deep, a dog,
dug deep and showed the dog.
Yeah, you know, Teofimo Lopez had a bad night, but then showed a dog against Josh Taylor.
Right. He showed a dog tonight against Duarte. A guy wasn't throwing punches.
Right, like, the other guys at 140, Duarte Matias has shown dog left and right. Gets outlanded early on in fights.
Well, Matias is literally a dog.
He's a Rottweiler. He's a pit bull. Yeah. Rolly Romero. After the fight, Ryan Garcia calls out Rolly Romero. I think it's the fight that fans deserve. I think it's the buildup we all want to see. Two flawed fighters getting in the ring. It will do great numbers commercially. Inside the ring, I think it's a fun fight. I think it's a fun fight. Pretty much it. Why can't we make fun fights? Rolly, Ryan Garcia. I need to see that fight in 2024. Mic drop.
Let's go. I dropped the phone. Let's go. Why not? Yeah, like what am I gonna do? I'm gonna throw something in the air. Yeah, why not? At this point, come on, make the fight. Right, Rolly Romero, Ryan Garcia, commercial success, flawed guys, whatever. We're talking guys who are basically almost in the same boat at this point.
Right.
Neither one of them world champions. I mean, Rolly apparently is. Or
he's in recess.
Yeah, world champion for 37 seconds. Yeah, having them fight each other.
Yeah, then the winner in Battle of the Fittest, right? The winner of that one then can inch closer to a legitimate guy at 140. I love it. I love that fight. Sometimes the fights, they make themselves, and sometimes they're very obvious to make. I don't know what will go on with Golden Boy. That was a big storyline this week. Nonsense. Like, geez, I've ever seen anything like that, man. Your own promoter just beefing with you the week of a fight. Like, I was kind of shocked by how many people were defending Oscar and Bernard in that whole thing. I guess that's how much disdain people have for Ryan Garcia. But I don't know. That was bizarre. What'd you make of all of it?
My promoters battled me behind the scenes. Right. But yeah. And then when I went public, they called me a fucking snitch. So I don't, you know, it's six in one, half a dozen in the other in terms of how these kind of things kind of go. But this is not uncommon. This stuff happens.
Right. That was kind of like the adversity that they kept, you know, detailing or alluding to.
Listen, I was very much debilitated by my promotional problems and lawsuits that I was in for some of my biggest fights. So I get it. I get why it came out to the news and why people are like, it was a big deal. It was just weird that it was coming from the actual promotional company, but that's
3 days before the fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Throw that in there. I know that no one's going to give Ryan Garcia the benefit of the doubt ever, but I don't know. He is human. And I think there are some flaws to him. Obviously there are some things, there is some potential. That's what makes him one of the more interesting names in the sport. He's not great. He's not bad. He's marketable. I mean, eventually he's going to get caught, and then he's going to stop guys.
Dan, let me ask you, is Ryan good for the sport?
Anyone that brings mainstream eyeballs to the sport, I believe, is good for the sport.
If he brings eyes to the sport and he puts on a performance like tonight, is he good for the sport?
Because of the casual fans don't see the sport like we do, or like the hardened fans that watch week in, week out. They see a knockout. At the end of the day, they see a knockout. They left the arena, or they turned off their DAZN, and they were like satisfied in a way. They don't understand him, the shoulder roll being clumsy, or him kind of getting away from the jab and running around. Maybe they'll eventually learn about it, but there are people, it's not the old best gauge, but the people in the John Boy media office ask me about Ryan Garcia. He's back this week. I'm interested in Ryan Garcia fight.
The family members I watched the fight with tonight asked me about Ryan before the fight. I was like, oh, well, I'm watching the fight tonight. I'm going to call afterwards as soon as it ends.
Yeah.
And then we watched the fight together, and I can't imagine they liked what we saw. And it didn't sound like they were confused. We're not watching Bernard Hopkins here, Dan. We're not watching The Sweet Science with all the things that Ryan's doing. I don't think that kind of stuff is good for the sport. This is why I don't think, so I get in this argument, people are like, oh, Jake Paul is good for the sport. He brings new eyes to the sport. I'm like, yeah, but they're watching bad boxing. They're not watching good boxing. Oh. They're not learning what this sport really is about.
I think there's room for all of it. I think it's sure. Not the sport isn't healthy enough where we can just be like, Ryan Garcia, you're out. Jake Paul, we don't want you. I think
I'm not saying that either.
What you're saying.
I'm saying it, when new fans come in and they're watching like, what's going on here? So, and that's one of the biggest things I think is the issue with boxing is the sport is so nuanced. Yeah. And the fan base needs to be educated. We need more education for people to watch boxing to understand what's actually going on, because it's way too complicated. And that's one of the faults of boxing. It's one of the things that hinders us. It's our crutch, is that the sport is very, very complicated. And if you do not know what you're looking at, it doesn't always look good.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be really good and not look good to the untrained eye.
Yeah.
What Ryan did tonight didn't look good for anybody. It didn't look good for the untrained eye. It didn't look good for the trained eye. It looked really bad for the trained eye.
If it would have went 12, I would have been bad.
Listen, I disagree. If Ryan went out there and boxed and he used that fucking beautiful jab that he had in the first couple rounds and did it for 12 rounds and was rolling and sliding and doing that shoulder roll nicely and coming back with uppercuts and coming back with his jab and keeping Duarte on the outside and making him completely disarmed, that would have been good.
Yeah, but I'm saying if he would have just kept doing what he was doing from the sixth round on, which was the moving, that would have been a horrible watch. I think that would have been worse. The fact that he got him out of there, I think salvaged what was a lackluster performance. But to go back to your point, I think boxing it's a balance between its entertainment and its a sport. And a business. It's three things.
It's entertainment before anything.
Right. It's entertainment and a business before it's a sport. So therefore, you have room for Jake Paul. Therefore, you have room for Ryan Garcia. and you also have room for the Usyks and the Crawfords and the Inouyes and the Canelos, the master technicians and the highest level. The hope is that the people that follow Ryan Garcia his whole career and are the biggest of boxing fans, or Jake Paul, will go on to get interested and want to learn and keep climbing up to watch these guys. So it's a mixed bag, just like the sport. It's hard to figure out. I think no matter what, he's going to have people watching him, looking for an improvement, looking for a downfall. That, to me, is something that not a lot of fighters today have, is that people care one way or another, whether it's good or bad. So I'm curious to see what's next for him. I think he should just keep it going. Inactivity, I feel like, is his biggest problem. He should just get right back in there with Derek James and then fight Rolly in April. Who cares if there's a belt attached to it or not? Just fight. Like, that's going to make them like $10 million each, at least.
Yeah, well, I think Ryan should just forget about the belts and just try to make fights that are fun. Because at this point, he's in the toughest weight class in the world. The chances of him picking up a belt with these absolute killers, or his stance with those guys, I don't see it. I don't see him in there with the Matias. I don't see him in there with the Teofimo Lopez. I don't see him in there with a Devin Haney or a Progre. But a Rolly Romero makes a lot of sense. And I don't see Rolly Romero beating any of those guys either.
Right. So, they're perfect. They're perfect. The match
know your level. Make you're going to be an entertainer. You're going to make money. You're either going to make money or you're going to be a world champion. Or you're going to be a world champion and then you're going to make money. At this point, I don't know. Derek James can enact something and he can really get him to be disciplined and find that jab. Listen, we saw more jabs tonight than ever. He landed them and they look great. It fell off quick.
So maybe that's visibly. You saw like three versions of him visibly in that ring. It was one of the more stranger.
You saw his mental. You saw his brain. You saw his everything change as the fight went on. You were looking into his brain moving the whole fight.
Some people would find that interesting, though.
It's very interesting.
I'm not saying I do or you do or people that listen to the show.
I found it interesting, but like I don't think that should be a main event of a card.
Oh yeah, well, he puts asses in seats. That goes back to what we just said. It's entertainment. It's a business, and then it's a sport. There it is. Ryan Garcia, eighth round stoppage. We'll see what's next for him. Next weekend, Devin Haney, Regis Progre at 140. We'll have a show for you in midweek. Thank you, everyone who tuned in to our rapid reaction post-fight Ryan Garcia show. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs, everybody.